You are now listening to the Beer Buzz Network. What's up out there, ladies and gentlemen? This is Beer Geek Radio, presented to you by Beer Buzz. And it is I, your host, the general of juxtaposition, and the provider of pessimism, Brad Greider. And as usual, I'm sitting here with my two co-hosts. They're two fine-looking fellows.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Steven.
And this is your other co-host, Chris Martin.
A.K.A. Dev.
Also known as Francisco Fuggles.
And today's episode is brought to you by the Los Angeles International Beer Competition. For more information, you can visit labeercomp.com.
Yeah, check it out.
So you guys are probably wondering, where the hell have you guys been? It's been quite a while.
Fair question.
Yeah. And I think
more than fair.
Yeah, and I think it's fair of us to provide you with an explanation, and also because we want to take the time during this episode to let you guys know kind of what to expect since the Beer Buzz acquisition. And we're also drinking beer just because it just wouldn't be the same if we weren't.
We are a beer radio show, so we should have beer in front of us. That only stands to reason.
Yeah.
But as far as the long absence goes, I mean, it's how long has it been? About 2 months that we've been away?
Yeah. We wrapped up the Stout Shakedown Finals in the end of January, actually. That's when that went up on the 20th. So actually, I think we're 2 days, just over 2 months.
Okay.
So yeah. two days. Yeah, it's been a while.
Been a long, healthy break.
Yeah. So before we explain that, we just want to get to one of our favorite parts of the show is Ask a Beer Geek. And this kind of ties directly into the theme of today's show. And the question is, what's the best beer you've had since being on the air last? So in the last 2 months, what's the best beer you guys have had?
I'll jump in there.
Yeah, go for it.
It's maybe not the best beer I've had, but it's a beer that I've been drinking the most frequently. So I guess by that token, it can be considered the best beer that I've had in the last 2 months. And it's got to be Ponto Session IPA from Pizza Port. I'm gonna drink it all. I mean, I eat lunch at Brew Cakes out in Redlands frequently, and I think I killed that entire keg by myself.
Damn.
Yeah, that's definitely a one you can drink all day. But I think that's exactly what it's designed for. What about you, Steven?
My favorite beer that I've had since the last time we were on air would be one that I had at the Inland Empire Brewing Company's little anniversary party that they had a couple weeks back. It was by Laverne Brewing Company. It's their Lordsburg Double IPA. I remember Jason Torres of Beer Buzz. We got that, and I just kept coming back for more.
Yeah, I remember
that.
I
think I had three in a row.
You wanted me to try it when I got there because I was a little bit late, and it was out.
That's right.
Steven drank it all by the time I got to the.
That's actually a safe assumption.
Yeah.
I did have a plethora of beer that day, being a lot.
You're apparently a selfish bastard.
Yeah. Well,
so
cheers to that.
Well, the best beer I've had since being on the air is undoubtedly, and I raved about this one to you guys pretty much right after I had it, and it's Hangar 24, it's Pugachev's Royale.
Oh, yeah.
I've had it again since the first time, so I've had it twice in the last 2 months. Somebody,
you're a bastard.
You're this, yeah. You're,
I still haven't had it
once.
Yeah, I opened one for Valentine's Day, and then my dad opened one at his birthday party last weekend.
Nice.
And I'm telling you, that beer is something very special.
Yeah.
It no doubt is one of the best barrel-aged beers I've ever had. And everybody that had it at the birthday party was really just in awe of how good it was.
Once again, just another underrated beer by Hangar 24.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be underrated for long, considering what I've heard people say about it.
It's currently got a 93 on BA, which is laughable. It should be way higher. But, you know, hey, it is what it is.
I mean, it's in the 90s.
Yeah, it's such a stellar beer. And they are making it again next year, so I'm excited.
Sweet. Excellent. Maybe they'll do a larger quantity this time.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Maybe. I do still have one bottle. I'm probably going to save it for my wedding. So.
There you go.
Of course.
So that's Ask a Beer Geek. You guys feel free to send us your best beers you've had recently, because, you know, we love discussing beer.
Mm. Oh, yeah. We'd love to hear what you guys have been drinking since we've been off air.
We'll banter with you and even argue.
Speaking of that, man, what are we drinking right now?
Brad put it upon himself to grace us with a bottle of Rodenbach Grand Cru. And if you know anything about this show and Brad's penchant for beers, this is quite a shock. The world's kind of turned upside down since the last time we've been on the air, I think.
Yeah.
Hell hath frozen over.
Yes.
Not only did I open it, but I'm drinking it and enjoying it, a Rodenbach Grand Cru. And it's even a sub-style of sours that I really don't like. My least favorite, actually, is like a Flanders or Flemish Red. If you guys know me at all, you know that I've said that many times. And, yeah, I'm normally not a fan of this style at all, but Rodenbach and Rodenbach Grand Cru are both really good.
They are, man. I will echo that statement. Flemish Reds are not usually my bag, but these are really good. I mean, yeah. Rodenbach is by far and away the best Flanders or Flemish I've had.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I would drink this even not on a show just because I think it's really good. And like I said, what the hell's happening?
Things they are changing. Dylan would say, you know.
Well, on the other hand, we have the Grand Cru on one hand, but we also me and Brad were at the at Total Wine in Rancho, and we saw a little gem on the shelf. It's called Shock Top Honey Bourbon Cask Wheat, and so naturally I had to pick that up for $1.49 plus tax. And
our entire listenership's just laughing at
right
now.
Oh yeah, good. But I will say, you know what? We all agreed it's pleasantly surprisingly good.
Well, my opinion of it is that it smelled like honey and tasted like corn pops or like honeycomb.
Yeah, it's the candy of beer.
Yeah, ditto that. There's absolutely no bourbon character whatsoever.
I will say this is better than some double IPAs that are north of Sacramento, if you ask me. So yeah,
I wouldn't go that far. you know what, that's all you, buddy. Hey, you can ride with me in the car up to Sacramento, but as soon as you get like we get there, you're on your own. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna leave you there.
You're gonna have to get a ride with some truckers.
You and your Shock Top Honey Bourbon Cask Week can just enjoy Sacramento. Nah, it's not that nice of a town.
I don't like it that much. I just like pissing people off.
Then I also brought a can of Ponto, one of my favorite beers, obviously. That we might dig into throughout this episode as well. But that being said, so what have you guys been up to in the last 2 months? I mean, I kind of have an idea, but let the listeners know. I know, Brad, you've had a lot of stuff going on in your life.
Yeah. One thing I don't really have is a lot of time. time's not on my side. So I've been up to school. I went back to school full time. I was kind of growing unhappy with my station in life. Financially, I just have not been a fan of, you know, being broke all the time. So I went back to school, go figure. So you don't like being broke, so you go back to school and pay money. but yeah, no, I went back to college full time. Right now I'm studying broadcasting. I'm going to get my associate's in broadcasting, and then I'm probably going to go to a university and get my bachelor's in something more applicable like communications or sociology or, I don't know, something like that. I'm getting married in September.
Congratulations.
I found somebody to actually stick with me longer than, you know, 5 minutes. Yeah. So
yeah, me and you tried that once. It didn't work out.
Oh, hey, she's the lucky one. No, I'm kidding. No, so I'm getting married in September. And a quick shout out. I'm actually getting married at Taps Fish House. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That's pretty cool. That's
awesome. I took my certified Cicerone test this week. I don't get to sleep soundly for 6 to 8 weeks because that's exactly how long it takes to find out if you pass.
It's a long time.
And you know,
that's
it's
a
just
really
sitting
long
there.
Time.
It's already been graded, and the people there already know.
No, I actually, I think they're
just trying to string you along.
I think they take the paper and they email, like, or they actually send the papers to Chicago to the Siebel Institute, and then they scan them and they read them, and like, there's a whole lengthy process that shouldn't take that long, but does.
All clerical.
Well, they're working about as quickly as our government. So I mean, yeah, they got that.
yeah, that's true. It's very true. So yeah, I mean, school, married, Cicerone test. I mean, it's mostly about it. So the show, and plus with work, the show's kind of taking a like a back seat, and you know, it's unfortunate, but I mean, it is what it is. So that's what I've been up to. What about you guys?
Well, I'm definitely not near. I'm not as busy as that. That's all craziness. But you know, I've been keeping myself busy with my day job, my 9 to 5. I'm learning a lot. I've for the past 3 or 4 years I've been doing mainly property management, and now I'm getting more into the real estate aspect of things. I'm talking to a lot more agents. I'm writing up offers now for our company, you know, to buy and purchase properties, and I'm just learning a lot of what it takes to actually make it in the business. It gets stressful, but it's fun stuff. I actually enjoy it, so I'm lucky for that.
Excellent, man. Always good to pump up your career a little bit.
Yep.
As for myself, I've been working a lot with Brew Rebellion, as some of you guys probably know. They're a growing company, and they need all the help they can get. So I spend a lot of my time, working in the tasting room and selling bottles. Their distribution network's getting rather large now, mm-hmm. so I've been helping them out with that. And just helping us with our festivals that we've been doing. It kind of leads me into the next topic, the Beer Buzz festivals that we've been doing. And I know that you guys have probably seen that we had a merger with Beer Buzz. And if you're wondering what the heck is Beer Buzz, it's basically just an all-inclusive network. They have a website dedicated to different video shows, radio shows. They've got a community network on there where you can go rate beers. You can talk to each other about beer. Mm-hmm. There's a blog. There's just really anything that you could need. Yeah. Relating to craft beer, you can find on that site.
Yeah, so what that means really for us is that we have resources now available to us that that make our lives, you know, behind the mic a little easier. And then we're going to have obviously more exposure, and we're going to finally get a website up here running pretty soon. It's hard to believe that we're 2 years into this whole endeavor and we don't have our own website, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
And obviously, too, with festivals, we're going to absolutely have better relationships with breweries that put on festivals. So, mm-hmm.
And we'll have a bigger presence at festivals as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going to be able to see us at more festivals, which is a lot of fun. We get to interact with you guys face-to-face instead of you guys just kind of listening to us through headphones or in your car or whatever. So
we're not reclusive. We like going out.
Yeah.
We don't confine ourselves to this table.
Yeah, no. Not always. Yeah, and it would be nice for you guys to be able to put faces to the names so you guys can kind of know who we are, and it's more personable that way. So that's kind of what we get out of the merger, and obviously what they get out of it is just three gentlemen that are very knowledgeable about beer and very passionate about speaking into microphones and radio, mm-hmm. and all that good stuff. So they get personalities, and they get talent, and they get knowledge, and they get passion and all that good stuff. So it's beneficial for both of us.
And don't forget about our nice following of listeners. You guys, they get you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the icing on the cake of the mm-hmm. whole thing. So that's what you guys can expect out of the Beer Buzz merger, and that's what we're what it means for us.
As for the show itself, though, should people be worried about the show changing at all with the Beer Buzz merger?
The show is going to change a little bit. The scheduling is going to change. Rather than coming at you guys every single week, we're going to be doing our best to come at you guys every other week. So you expect maybe two, depending on how the weeks line up, maybe three shows a month. But I would count on two shows and try it. We'll do our best to mm-hmm. be able to produce content for you guys.
As for content, I think that's going to stay the same. We're going to be the same old stubborn and slightly offensive people that we've always been. So that'll be fun.
The formatting on each show is going to be relatively the same, like Steven just said. What we're going to do that we haven't or we've experimented with before, but we're actually going to stick to it this time, is actually a concrete beer review. It's going to be tucked away at the end of every episode. So you guys get our banter and our commentary, and then at the end of each show, you're going to get about a 5 to 7 minute beer review. And it's the beer that's picked by us, and it could be, doesn't matter, a new relevant beer just released. Could be, a beer that we just felt like we wanted to share with you guys. So that's something you guys can also count on, too. So that's what's going to change about the show itself. And then, like I said, we're going to get a website up and running, and we're going to try to come at you guys about 2 times a month. So that's what I'd expect if I were you.
All good things. So things are going to make the show better and going to push us forward to where we want to be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's where the show is headed. You found out exactly where the hell we've been. Is there anything else that we want to get to before we get out of here?
Do we have anything coming up with the show that people can look forward to in the near future or plans? I know that we're planning on doing some tournaments this year because we know that you guys really appreciate the tournaments, and we love doing them.
Oh, yeah, those are always fun.
And as for styles, we're not exactly sure, so if you have suggestions, shoot them to us. We're mm-hmm. more than open to suggestions, but we are going to do tournaments this year because they're just a shit ton of fun to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Tournaments are some of our funnest radio to record. I think upcoming tournaments, I would like to do probably 2 tournaments this year. We're already in March, so it's definitely doable. But I would definitely count on one of those tournaments being an IPA tournament of some kind. It might be doubles again, because it's fun. It might be singles. It might be, East Coast versus West Coast. We'll find a way to put a BGR twist on it. The other tournament is where we're most open for ideas. I mean, one that I would really like to do would be Saisons. I think a Saison tournament would be awesome. But I mean, we've gotten suggestions of barley wine tournaments. We've almost done a brown ale tournament. So I mean, there's plenty of styles out there that we could do.
Yeah.
So,
and we probably will at some point in the future, but I mean, right now we're just weighing our options.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that we can produce the funnest radio tournament wise for you guys, because it's as fun as for us as we just want it to be engaging for you guys. And since you guys can't drink the beers with us, we want to give you at least styles that keep you excited and interested and involved. So that's pretty much what I've got to say about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I basically, just a couple minutes ago, just slammed that shock top because, you know.
How was that?
It was a shock top.
Was it a good experience for you?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't bad. It tasted like I was slamming cereal, as you mentioned earlier.
Finishing a bowl of cereal?
Yeah, exactly. You know, just, you know, drinking up all the milk.
I think we about covered
it. Yeah.
Hey, well.
So thanks for sticking with us over this long period of absence and silence.
Yeah, growing pains.
Yeah. We apologize for the 2-month delay. It's not something that we planned on doing. It's not something we like to do.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of circumstance. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're three people with three busy schedules, and it's not always easy for us to get in the same room together. But we're going to try and bring you shows on a regular schedule, as regular as we can make it. Mm-hmm. So just bear with us, guys.
Yep. And one final note, though, I want to say it feels really good to be back.
It does.
I was kind of nervous to see how exactly it feel to be back on the air.
It's fun.
I'm really excited to be back in front of this mic and you know, shouting at you guys. So I mean, that'll wrap this episode up. But stay tuned in just a few seconds here. We're going to get into a review of Chris. You want to go ahead and let them know what it is?
Sure. We're going to review Carnival by Lost Abbey. It's a seasonal saison that is released in the Mardi Gras season, Lent, Easter kind of beer,
which is kind of where we find ourselves now.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. It's topical.
Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get, there's going to be a slight break. And once again, we thank you guys for being back on the airwaves, listening to us. Feels good to be back here talking. So for Beer Geek Radio, my name's Brad.
And this is Steven.
And this is Chris. Cilantro.
All right. Cheers. Howdy, ladies and gents. We're back for this week's beer review. And as Chris mentioned at the end of the show, we have Lost Abbey Carnival. I'm excited. Who's excited?
I'm super excited.
Well, we have beer, of course.
And Lost Abbey Carnival is a seasonal saison, as Chris mentioned. Chris, what else do you have on this beer for us right away?
This beer is generally brewed around the Mardi Gras season. For those that aren't aware, Mardi Gras is basically... it's French for Fat Tuesday, and Fat Tuesday is...
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's a celebration prior to the fasting season of Lent. So when you hear people say that they're giving up stuff for Lent, it's traditionally like a fasting sort of thing. This year it fell a little bit later than most years. This year it started on March 4th. Previous years it was in February, and I think next year it's in late February also. As far as the style goes, saisons, it's a beer style originally brewed in Belgium, in the farmhouses of Wallonia, which is a French-speaking region of Belgium. It's a beer that's brewed in the colder winter months and then enjoyed during the summer seasons as like they give it out to the farmhouse workers and stuff to quench their thirst while they were working.
Yeah, and the style range is typically real light. They're not really dark beers at all. I mean, there's some commercial examples out there that are dark, smoked, black saisons, but your traditional saison is going to be light. We re-registered this one in anywhere between 5 and 7. Your normal SRM range, standard reference method, is color. It's between 5 and 14. So like I said, you can see darker examples, but most of them are fairly light.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely, like as Chris said, brewed in the late cooler months, but to last through like the hotter months like spring and summer. Most saisons are released during the spring and are expected to last during the summertime. So it's a really easy drinking beer, good flavor complexity in there. But it's definitely something you're going to want to keep you cool during the warmer months of summer.
Yeah, and it's like a celebration of the changing seasons, really.
Right, right. So this particular beer weighs in at 6.5% alcohol. And like I said, we clocked it in at an SRM somewhere between 5 and 7, depending on how you're looking at it. But it's really light.
Mm-hmm.
A nice what that translates to is a nice golden color. I've often said that saisons are my favorite style to look at because they're just such a gorgeous beer.
Yeah, they'll generally get a nice pilly head on there too.
Yeah,
they're very effervescent, a lot of carbonation. to make it nice and easy to drink. This particular Saison is brewed with Brettanomyces, so it's going to give it that nice barnyard kind of funk to it. And the hop profile off the Lost Abbey website says that this beer is brewed with Amarillo and Simcoe hops to generate flavor and depth.
Nice. Yeah, I know some Saisons are actually dry hopped as well, so that adds another layer of flavor complexity, so I'm usually a fan of that. Now for the aroma, what are we getting off this particular beer?
There's a term that Chris used off air. It was a very, what was it, barnyard?
Musty, yeah.
Well, I know musty, but you said like barnyard.
Yeah,
or...
that's the Brettanomyces is going to give it that kind of barnyard funk to
see,
it.
See, I would have never known that, but I see where that comes from. So, I you know what, that's what I would use.
And it definitely comes to the forefront in this beer. It's very funky on the nose.
Yeah, and it has a nice, like a spice character to it on the aroma too. It's real fresh, kind of. It really has a cool aroma to it. It's like a really inviting aroma, but yeah, it definitely has like a spicy, musty, almost a barnyard funk.
I'm getting it's sweet.
Yeah, there's some sweetness in there. That's traditionally when you get saisons. There's some fruitiness, some spiciness, barnyard funk from the Brett, as Chris said. Brett, how did you pronounce it, Chris? Brettanomyces.
Brettanomyces. I've heard a couple different pronunciations, but
I typically hear standard. Yeah, I typically hear Brettanomyces. Yeah. We call it Brett for short because it's much less intimidating when you see the word on paper. But yeah, it's a real. You know, relaxed kind of spiciness. There's a fruitiness in there too.
Subtle citrus notes in there, but not really what comes to the forefront. I really have to dig to get those flavor here.
Yep. Cheers.
Cheers.
Sláinte. That's nice.
Yeah, I like it. It's a really refreshing beer. Definitely not too overwhelming in the alcohol. It's like only 6.5, but it packs a lot of flavor in for a beer that is traditionally what you would see when you see a low alcohol content. You don't think of beers with this much flavor.
And to me, it reflects the aroma. Actually, I'm getting that same profile, the barnyard or the straw. It's good.
I'm getting a little more citrus coming off this. Mainly because it's a fresher version of this beer. The fact that it is brewed with the Brett, if you age this beer, those citrus notes are going to fall off, and the Brett funkiness is going to become a lot more prominent and a lot more in the forefront on the taste.
Yeah,
than it is right now.
And saisons actually are a style too that is low in alcohol, so it's not very intense, but it can be aged for a couple years. And you actually, like Chris said, you do see the flavors evolve quite a bit when you age saisons. The spiciness kind of comes to the forefront depending on what the malt character is, but you also get a lot of that Brett funkiness kind of really takes the center stage in that when you age it.
What I really like about saisons too is the mouthfeel. You get a nice prickle from the amount of the carb in it.
Yeah. You typically see a lot more carbonation in a saison than you would other styles, and it definitely helps bring out the character and the flavor. But it helps the mouthfeel too because it's real sharp on the palate.
Right.
But it's not too overwhelming. It's not too unfriendly. It's actually
enjoying this.
Yeah, it's a really nice beer.
It's a very easy to drink beer. When I was researching this beer on the Lost Abbey site, they mentioned that a lot of their brewers drink this beer regularly while they're working, and around the brewery, they refer to it as the brewer's beer.
Oh, God, yeah.
Nah, yeah, I can see why. I can definitely see why. Yeah, I really enjoy Saisons. I think it's an awesome style. I'm actually really glad you picked it.
Yeah, great representation of the style, too.
Absolutely.
Nice, dry, effervescent, spicy, a little citrus in there, and definitely some funk.
That is one thing I'm picking up a lot more in the flavors, is a more spice character. I didn't get that much in the aroma.
Yeah, and one cool thing about Saisons, too, is we're starting to see more U.S. brewers and do their interpretations. Obviously, the Lost Abbey is one example, but there's several American breweries that make the style and at least their take on it, and so they're not too hard to find.
Sure. No, that's actually something that I came across in my research for this also, was that people were saying they were afraid that Saison was a dying style. But it's picked up recently a lot.
Yeah, so. And I, for one, am a fan of that. If you pay attention to our social media site, you actually saw on Facebook, we posted just the other day, Stone announced their next big six-pack release is a Stone Saison. I'm actually really stoked for that.
I am dying to try that. And Allagash is releasing a year-round Saison as well.
Good. Allagash makes like Allagash. Good stuff. Yeah, and so Firestone Walker's releasing Opal here pretty soon. Yeah. We're going to start to see that hit stores. So, I mean, there's not a shortness of Saisons. Like, there used to be some other really good ones. Their Boulevard Tank 7 is a classic example.
Great. Omegang, Hennepin.
Hennepin is another good one. Goose Island, I think it's Matilda, is another good Saison. So there's plenty of them out there, but we definitely recommend checking out Lost Abbey's Carnival because it's an awesome style. Mm-hmm. It definitely fits the weather that we're having, especially here in Southern California.
Yeah, we didn't really have a winter season.
No, we didn't. We had maybe 6 days of cold weather.
Yeah.
During December.
So quickly, really, before we get out of here on this beer review, what's your guys' verdict if you guys are going to give it a number rating?
I'm giving it a solid 4. I really like this. I would buy this. Well, I didn't buy it the first time.
Yeah, I'm going to.
I'd buy it.
I'm going to go up to a 4.5 out of 5. I'm really enjoying this beer. I like this a lot.
I'm going to 4.5 out of 5 as well, just because for the style, I think it's an excellent example. Mm-hmm. And I just want to drink the whole bottle.
And I had originally given this a 4 when I had it on tap. But drinking it here today and really dissecting it, I'm appreciating it a lot more than I did previously just drinking it at a bar.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. So that's our beer review for this week. It's Lost Abbey's Carnival. It's a springtime saison. We give it a thumbs up. We definitely recommend it. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks with an episode dedicated just to session IPAs and a great beer review.
That's going to be fun.
Yep. Everyone's looking forward to those, and they're popping up everywhere. So you know we're going to be on it. Mm-hmm. So for Beer Geek Radio, I'm your host. My name's Brad.
This is your co-host, Steven.
And this is Chris Sláinte.